Welcome to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight, featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 30th, 1996.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest. Pretty cool place for a network, huh? This is from the Hawaiian Islands, the Tahitian Island chain, all the way east over flyover country to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north to the pole, and worldwide on the internet. This is Coast to Coast AM. Live talk radio throughout the nighttime because this radio station cares enough to have live talk radio on for you. Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell. It's great to be here in more ways than one. The final vote count not expected until later today in most time zones, but it looks now like Israel has a new hardline prime minister. That's what they're going to call him. Benjamin Netanyahu of the right-wing Likud party is about 21,000 votes ahead now of Shimon Peres. There are about 175,000 absentee ballots yet to be counted, but a lot of those are military, expected to go Netanyahu's way. There is no absolute answer at this hour, but I think Israel has made indeed a very wise decision. And I'll be damned, if I lived in Israel, I would not give back the Golan Heights to Syria. I can sure tell you that. And he won't. He would make, Syria. He would make peace, he says, with Syria, but he wouldn't give them back the Golan Heights. And if I lived in Israel, I would not do that either. So I think they've made a good decision. Mr. Clinton is supporting teen curfews. I think it's a good idea. It is not a law. It is not a federal law. It is simply guidelines that would be issued to cities that wish to implement curfews. Now, if it was a law, I'd be complaining, too. The feds have no business telling our teenagers what to do, telling cities what to do. But issuing guidelines, to me, is not a problem. And I don't see any reason why a 15-year-old needs to be out in the middle of a city at 2 o'clock in the morning. If you do, then I would like to hear from you. However, there is one little irony with what he is doing. It says, I got this fax. Art, how does President Clinton reverse himself 180 degrees, goes from midnight basketball to a national curfew on teens, 17 and under? Teen criminals will violate the law. Law-abiding teenagers will not have the right to attend a professional baseball, basketball, or football game. How many Little League games did we play until 10 p.m.? We held a job at 16, which required you to work until after 8. Listen, again, having noted that slight inconsistency on the part of the president, I really, in a lot of cities, I think if you ask the people, they would say that they think a curfew is a good idea. Now, again, it's not a federal law. It is simply a guideline for cities to establish. Doesn't mean they have to do it. Somebody else sent me this, Cindy. Cindy says, I wonder if our President Billy has considered worrying less about same-sex marriage and more about same-marriage sex. You've got to let that one sink in a little bit. From Austin, Texas, an 11-year-old girl, this is quickening stuff, an 11-year-old girl was charged Thursday with capital murder in the beating death of a 2-year-old at an unlicensed home daycare center in Austin, Texas. Police said the toddler was allegedly beaten to death last Friday with a blunt instrument, an autopsy later revealing the girl had suffered several broken bones and a ruptured liver in the beating. We believe the injuries were caused by an intentional act, according to a Austin police lieutenant. The 11-year-old granddaughter of the Baptist deacon who operated the daycare center was charged with murder, placed in a juvenile detention center. Police did not, of course, release the name of the child because she is a minor. Said the deacon's other children and grandchildren were removed from his home and placed in foster care. No 11-year-old whose needs are being met is going to kill a 2-year-old, according to the DA. To me, this is something I call the quickening. It is events accelerating at an increasing pace. And if that's not enough, try this one. Houston, police said that a 34-year-old came home from a job hunting trip Tuesday. This lady. Her 13-year-old daughter asked her to lie down so she could fix her hair. You know how little girls like to comb their mommy's hair, right? The girl combed her hair for a while, then pulled out a revolver, put it to her mother's forehead, and fired. The teenager, whose name was withheld, told police her mother had abused her. She was charged with murder. Williams quoted the girl as saying she plotted the killing for a couple of days, taking her mother's revolver from the trunk of her car, hiding it in their apartment. Girl said she combed her mother's hair for about 15 minutes, then placed the gun to her mother's forehead and shot her. The mother died instantly from the gunshot wound. The body left lying on her bed for a day before the daughter called police, said she'd come home Wednesday to find her mother dead. After the shooting, the teenager and two friends arranged the apartment to make the shooting look as if it had occurred during a botched robbery, tossed the gun into a nearby drainage ditch. The girl's being held now at a juvenile detention center. It's unbelievable. I mean, this kind of baloney is just going on and on and on and on. Dear Art, the firing of the three Air Force officers today, including one Brigadier General, two colonels, over the crash of the Air Force transport in Bosnia, is outrageous and typical of the plight of the military under the Clinton administration. Three maintenance officers? Give me a break. This is nothing more than scapegoating. Obviously, the Air Force was carrying out orders from the State Department to fly these personnel. They could not disobey orders, yet they are to blame when something goes wrong. No wonder morale is low in the military. The FBI is consulting an expert on apocalyptic cults, a biblical scholar, the same man who consulted the FBI at Waco in 1993. He is Philip Arnold. And he will consult them regarding what he suggests the Freemen are, Christian identity. It's called Christian identity, I guess. Is it a religion? A group that combines white supremacy and Christian doctrines. I thought about that a little bit. White supremacy and Christian doctrines. Pardon me, but how the hell do you combine those? What is Christian about white supremacy? We are better. We are white. We are Christian. Is that what the Freemen are? Well, they say that's what the Freemen are. That's incredible. Christian identity group. White supremacy and Christian doctrine. I don't know. So maybe you can explain that to me. What is it? How do you manage? Boy, I've got so much stuff here. More tornadoes. By the way, here's the top 17 rejected titles for the movie Twister. Totally Gone with the Wind. Lift and Separate, Boys on the Side of My Barn, summer film so full of special effects we couldn't fit in the plot, The Weather Channel, The Motion Picture, Schindler's Twist, Field of Debris, Dead Man Flying, I, Cumulus, One House Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, The Splintered Bridges of Madison County, The Wizard of Oz 2, The Search for Toto, Killer Genuine Draft, Four Weddings and a Funnel, Indiana Jones and the Trailer Park of Doom, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Farm, and Roofless in Seattle. Did you see the tornadoes on CNN? Colorado, northeast part of Colorado, two impossibly gigantic, big tornadoes. Tornadoes and weather alerts throughout much of the U.S., central part of the U.S., weather alerts during my tornado show down in San Antonio yesterday. 1,000 homes destroyed outside Louisville the day before. It's getting very weird out there. That's why I thought under the circumstances last night, the repeat of the Twister show was very appropriate. Now, I read this at 2 o'clock in the morning yesterday, but I'm going to read it again. Check this out from a journal, Science. From Flagstaff, Arizona, scientists who study ancient climates are finding that the climate in the most recent period here on Earth has been relatively, I'm quoting, more volatile than previously believed. This implies that immense natural climatological, I never can say that, climatological catastrophes could come at any time. Quoting Dr. Daniel Moos of the U.S. Geological Survey in Denver, we like to think of whatever climate we're in as a normal one. Our natural assumption is it'll keep on that way, but that, he says, quoting now, is a very tenuous assumption. So in other words, we may be in more than just weird times here, folks. Well, I'm running out of time, and I've got a couple more things I really want to get in, but I guess I better get in what I must get in, and that's a couple of commercial messages. So we will do that. I've got a couple of more things for you. I've got a report on the Roswell parts that'll blow your socks off. I got a call from Linda Howe, Linda Moulton Howe tonight. I'll tell you all about that in a moment. I don't know if I'm going to have time for this. I'm going to try it. Dear Art Bell, my grandfather passed away a couple of months ago. He lived in Richland, Washington, worked at Hanford since before I can remember, up until his retirement a couple of years ago. He was an avid gardener in his spare time and left behind a beautiful piece of work. Every inch of his property was well tended. However, he also left behind something very disturbing. When my family and I went through his house one last time before its sale, I chanced upon a large metal chest that was hidden under some empty cardboard boxes in the basement. It was heavily locked. Thinking nothing of it at the time, I broke the lock, opened the heavy lid. The chest was completely lined with lead, and inside were several glass jars, sealed airtight. The jars contained a variety of ordinary-looking seeds. Seeds, folks. So I took the whole chest home with me to Seattle. Now, what do you think these seeds might be? He goes on, the next day, I planted just one single seed from one of the jars. Now, in a moment, I'm going to tell you what that seed grew into. It's incredible. I don't know whether to believe it or not, but the man sounds serious. We really should interview him, and I'll see what I can do on that score. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, Art. This is Jim, truck driving fool from Seattle.
Hello, Jim.
I'm in Lincoln, Montana right now. I'm an OTR driver.
All right. Yes, sir.
But I wanted to make a couple of comments, one concerning your debris from Roswell incident.
Yes.
Have they checked to see if it's an alloy of aluminum and titanium?
Yes, sir, they have checked. They did all the tests first on the outside of the pieces, determining they were pure aluminum. Then I authorized a destructive test on one of the pieces, and they did so, and they found inside nothing but pure aluminum at twice the weight aluminum should be.
I realize that. That's the reason why I was asking about it.
So what do you make out of that? Now, Linda told me earlier today they're now going to do, I authorized a second destructive test. That's all I'm going to do. And they are going to look for at isotopes. Now, I'm not familiar enough with what they're looking at to know what they're looking for, but they are totally puzzled, and so am I.
I would imagine, too. I am, too. I know a little bit about chemistry. The other thing I was wanting to comment on was about the chupacabra.
Yes.
that name and the other two pronunciations for it from two different areas, from two different, basically, dialects.
Right.
Is very similar, and as far as the pronunciation, it sounds very close to Quetzalcoatl, which was Incan and Mayan god that manifested itself as an airborne beast of some sort, and those particular cultures tended to be very bloody cultures, and there are religious experts that are saying we are entering into a period of transition for the world.
Well, did you hear the story I read about the dragon in Malaysia?
No, I didn't.
You didn't hear that?
I sometimes I can pick you up and sometimes I can't because of mountains and distance.
All right, well, it's a Reuters story, so everybody knows the source. Malaysian fishermen hauled in a 7.5 meter, 25 foot skeleton of a creature they fear is a dragon. They say the skeleton appears to be like that of a dinosaur. It took them 30 minutes to get on the boat, and it's now being examined by experts. What the hell is going on?
Well, I figure I've talked to a bunch of friends that I know that's into what's called magic and everything, and they believe that the universe is basically split up into areas where science rules and magic rules, and we're starting to enter into a period where magic is going to be the
rule?
Yeah.
All right, my friend, thank you. Maybe that's it. Maybe the world moves in cycles, and maybe we're moving into a period of time when things are not going to make sense for a while. Maybe it's part of what I call the quickening. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi, where are you?
I'm in Kansas City. This is Dave. Say, I've got an answer to your question on your aluminum.
Oh, good.
At least I could run it by you and see what you think about it. You have nanotechnology.
No, I don't. There is such a thing
as
nanotechnology.
When you had the guy on that talked about nanotechnology, he said one of the things, the first thing you could do would be to redevelop the table of elements and metals, and that's why the aluminum weighs more than normal aluminum, because it was assembled different.
Well, that may be. I mean, that's as good a guess as any right now until we get... But, you know, we're at the stage now with the testing where we've got a very serious mystery on our hands.
Well, I suggest that you try, if it's at all possible, try electron scanning.
They've already done it.
And it didn't come up...
No,
it was different than regular aluminum?
No.
That's the only thing I can think
of. It came up, and I'm not an expert, but it came up 9999 aluminum, or what they call 1100 aluminum, pure aluminum. Nothing is, you know, 1,000 or 100%, but it is as close as they can determine.
The only other thing I could suggest would be to try the tensile strength and the actual strength of the aluminum itself.
Yeah, they're diving.
It acts like aluminum.
Right, they're diving into all of that now and looking into the isotopes, whatever the heck that means. So,
well, I believe that's the answer to it, because if it did come from a more advanced technology, obviously, if you look back at our history, we didn't have things like titanium and all these other exotic alloys and metals. Just a few years ago, look how far we've advanced now. And if you think about an advanced civilization that would come along and develop some kind of aluminum, that would, it would just, you know,
I am to the stage this morning. Now, it may all change tomorrow. Maybe there's something with these isotopes or something. But right now, I'm to the stage where I'm beginning to think that I've got something really weird on my hands. And then the next question is, what the hell am I going to do with it?
Well, I hope if you do have something really weird, that would be used for the advancement of you know, mankind instead of defense or something like that. We could use it. Just think of all the mysteries that could be solved with something like this.
Of course. Thank you very much. It's beginning to worry me more and more. I've taken some pretty serious precautions at this point as this mystery has begun to deepen. I've taken some precautions.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight, featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 30th, 1996. Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight, featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 30th, 1996.
It is, and we're just about to get down to open line on-screen talk radio, but to continue now with the man with the seeds, we'll call him Bill Appleseed. The next day, I planted just a single seed from one of the jars. The thing that grew from it has to be one of the most horrible things I've ever seen. It grew faster than anything I've ever heard of. Within a month, it occupied my entire backyard, choking out and killing all the other plants in its path with its creeping vines and broad, spiny leaves. It bloomed huge, grotesque flowers that smelled like rotting flesh. The bees ignored them, but the flies swarmed. Several days later, the blooms wilted and the plant started budding its terrible fruit fist-sized chunks of raw meat. Before I could stop him, my dog had eaten one. He became very sick. Within a few hours, all of his hair fell out and he died. I'm scared, Art. I tried angrily to hack at the plant with a machete, but its thorny vines are extremely tough. It's now growing back stronger and faster than even before. Nobody that I know has any idea what it is or what to do, and I'm on the verge of contacting the local authorities. God help us if the rest of these seeds should fall into the wrong hands. Bill in Seattle. That's incredible. Bill in Seattle, fax me your phone number. I want to talk to you on the air. I have never heard a story like this. It's horrible. And so please fax me your phone number, and we'll talk to you on the air here. I want to know more about this. I've got a whole lot more here, and I'll get to it as I can. On the Chupacabra, I want to give you a brief report on the Roswell pieces. Fascinating. God. It's been, what, almost 3 weeks, a month, that I received a letter and alleged pieces of crash debris from the Roswell crash back in 1947. And those pieces, by the way, or at least the first ones sent, are available to be seen. I took photographs of them. They're on my website. And I'll tell you how to get those photographs in a moment. But let me tell you where we've come, the point to which we've come in the testing. It is with a prestigious scientist in the Midwest now. And Linda Howe, in all likelihood, is going to come on this program tomorrow night and give us a report. And who knows, it may still turn out to be some rational explanation. The man in the letter suggested the parts were pure aluminum. In fact, the testing on the outside of the pieces proved to be exactly that, 0.999, whatever they call it, 99999 aluminum, or 1100 aluminum. People have said, well, they look like punch-outs, little pieces. They're not punch-outs. A large aluminum company verified that. When they measured the pieces and weighed the pieces, they did spectrography, electron scanning microscope, looked at the outside of the pieces, declared them solid aluminum. I then authorized a destructive test on one of the pieces because there was something strange. According to the size of the articles, measured again and again and again now by these scientists, the pieces should have weighed, I forget what it was, 97 milligrams or something like that, but in fact weighed 160 milligrams. Well, they then thought, okay, we've just tested the outside. Maybe it's some really bad alloy. So I said, okay, fine, cut one open. They did. The test just came back today, solid aluminum through and through. So the weight is absolutely impossible. The weight of these parts, folks, is almost double what it ought to be. There is no rational explanation. They look through the center, aluminum all the way through. They are now looking at isotopes, trying to figure out if there's any possible way that there could be a rational explanation for this. Linda and the scientists are absolutely mystified. I've now authorized a second destructive test. The second pieces that I received, purportedly from the outside of the spacecraft, have now been received by the scientists. The testing on those is to begin tomorrow. Very odd pieces, layered 40, 50 layers of metal with a charred outside. It looks like it was in a, you know, a crash or a fire or reentry or, you know, who knows. But according to Linda, what began as something that should have been explained easily has now turned into a deep, deep mystery. So that's where we are, and tomorrow night we'll have Linda on, and we'll see what she has to say. So there you go. Let us begin two-way talk radio. Anything that's on your mind is fair game. So away we go. East of the Rockies, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
This is Ali from Minneapolis calling you back.
Welcome to the program.
Let's see, I wanted to make some have some comments on the idea of the Freeman.
Yes, sir.
With the idea that they can combine white supremacy with
Christian values, yes.
Yeah. I know it sounds crazy, but I've actually studied this. Now, let's see. You know that I'm a Muslim.
They call it the Christian Identity
mm-hmm.
group or movement or whatever. I mean, the whole thing doesn't make any sense.
Well, think of it this way. Now, you know, in Islam, we believe that the idea of man being God, or son of God, or part of God,
mm-hmm.
you know, we don't believe in that, and we don't ascribe to it at all. Now, I think that part of that goes with that if you have a man, one human person, who is maybe part of God, like maybe in the Trinity, or the son of God,
mm-hmm.
now, that being Jesus, peace be on Jesus, the prophet Jesus. Now, if you look in churches, I mean, hanging on church walls all over the place, you see Jesus as the, you know, blue eyes, blonde hair, white man.
Yeah.
You know, and as long as they can have an identity with Jesus, they can somehow kind of twist that and corrupt it to say that our race has some special link with God because the son of God or the man who
Jesus,
is part of God in the Trinity is a white man like we are.
Jesus was light-haired, blue-eyed, white-skinned, so there you are.
Yeah.
Is that it?
I mean, if you look at the Bible, it's not, you know, it's not correct. It's not in line with what the Bible says in Revelation about Jesus. But also, you know, it's interesting that Louis Farrakhan, who's somebody that we, the main group of Muslims don't accept him at all. He's a liar about our religion, basically. But that's what they have, though. They believe in a man who manifested as God. You know, God manifested a man who was a black man. And so that's where they get their idea of black supremacy. So I think, I would say this, I'd be as bold as to say this. The idea of a man having some special link with God that the rest of humanity doesn't have might be one of the main things that's keeping racial supremacy alive.
No, I think you're dead on the money, and I thank you for the call. I think you're right on. It just might be. Why? I guess that's a natural thing. Maybe it's a natural thing that people begin to conclude that they are special. They are closer to God than others. Others, therefore, are somewhat godless. Therefore, their race, their connection to their God is somehow more special. You see, I don't think of God that way. I just don't think of God that way. I don't think that God, my God anyway, looks down at white people and says, you're my special people. Or black people or any other people that says, oh, you're my special people. You know, you're a notch up. That's not godly. God, I'm sure, doesn't see the color of skin. He sees the way we act here on earth. He sees all the rest of these things. That's my God. He's a kind of a fair guy. He's not a God of retribution. He doesn't strike down children just for the fun of it. He doesn't crash airliners just whimsically. It's not my God. You know, I think there's free will and free choice, and that's the kind of God that I have. It's a sort of a loose, I admit, a kind of a loose interpretation of the Creator, but it is mine. My God doesn't like one race better than another. How about your God? Christian identity, white supremacy, and Christian values. Give me a break. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Going once.
Yeah.
Yeah, speak. All right. Well, that's good. Now it's time to talk.
Okay.
What is your first name?
My name's Corey.
Corey. Okay, Corey. We don't screen call, so when I come to you, you're boom on the air.
Oh, okay.
Where are you?
Wichita, Kansas.
Very good.
And all I was going to say is how wonderful you are.
Well, I don't
and,
know.
I am taking this anthropology class
mm-hmm.
at Wichita State University, and I got turned on to you by my anthropology teacher.
No kidding.
Yeah. And some of the things you are saying are very interesting. I'm calling from Tornado Alley, by the way.
I know. I'll tell you, this year has been weird. Now, I think something arguably is going on. If you combine the hurricane season last year and the tornado season so far this year, and presuming that the people who produced Twister are not able to control the weather to hype their movie, something weird is going on.
Yeah, I think something is. Was in one and back in like 92 in a town nearby where I'm from is Wichita, but suburb is Andover,
mm-hmm.
which is, I don't know,
oh, yes.
5 minutes away, but it went through and it is a real scary thing to go through. So, I mean,
did you see the photographs, video of the ones in Colorado yesterday?
Yes, I did.
Ooh, and I saw bad.
I didn't know that they occurred in Colorado.
Well, they normally don't. That's part of what I'm saying. Listen, this guy wrote the letter about the seed.
Uh-huh.
Do you believe that?
I don't know.
I have never heard a story like this in my life.
I find it hard to.
And, we'll try
and another thing I find it hard to believe is that one thing that goes around that you're talking about that, what is it called, the chupacabra? Or
it is my mission in life to get people to pronounce that correctly. So follow me. Chupa.
Chupacabra.
Oh, there you go. Yes.
Yeah. I went to your website the other night, and I saw the picture of it, and it is definitely scary.
But ugly, I call it. It is but ugly, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
And almost evil, huh?
Yes. And another thing I was going to, I didn't last night, I didn't know about that it wasn't a live show. And
well, that's good.
I was trying to call in and it didn't work. But I was going to ask that guy why tornadoes don't occur in big cities. Why, I mean...
Well, occasionally they do, but that's a very good question. You know what? I mean, why don't they? Do they ever hit? Well, they do. The answer is they do occasionally.
Well, they do, but why do they hit like more farm towns way out in the middle of nowhere than big cities?
I don't know. Why do they hit trailer parks more than they do any place else?
I don't know. That's
magnetic attraction or something.
Or maybe it's just the heat that the city gives off that tornadoes don't like or something. I wouldn't know.
Nor would I, but I appreciate the question, and we'll mull it over. Malaysian fishermen hauled in a 7.5-meter skeleton of a creature that they feared was a dragon. Now, by the way, this is, you say, here goes art again. It's Reuters News I'm reading to you. It occurred in the new straits, of Malaysia. Fisheries Department officials who took possession of the skeleton said they'd never seen anything like it, but would analyze it to determine exactly what it really is. The unusual catch, found in 54-meter, 175-foot waters off the northern island, took about a half hour to lift aboard a fishing trawler. That's 30 minutes to get on board. The captain said, quote, "We were shocked didn't know what it was, found it was a dragon, very scared to haul it in, he said. The newspaper published a picture of the skeleton. I don't have it, folks. If I did, I'd put it up for you, which appeared to resemble the remains of a dinosaur. About 10,000 people thronged the pier at the small port town of Kuala Kedah, K-E-D-A-H, when word spread about the unusual catch. What's going on here? Chupacabras? Dinosaurs? Dragons being hauled up from the ocean? Do we have new creatures beginning to appear in the world? What's going on? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Let me turn off my radio.
Oh, yes, by all means.
Okay.
All right, speak up, sir. It's hard to hear you.
Okay. You know that atoms have protons, neutrons, and electrons, and each of them have a specific weight. Who's to say that maybe on another part of the galaxy or something like that, each of those protons, neutrons, and electrons has a little bit heavier weight, and perhaps that could make up the difference for the heavy aluminum.
Well, maybe it could, but you've got to admit it's beginning to get a little strange.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm not an expert in these areas, and I don't know about isotopes and how that might account for it, but that's where they're moving now, and they have absolutely no idea what this could be and what began and should have had a simple, and we expected, frankly, simple explanation. Now, according to Linda Howe, is getting a little strange.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So that worries me. I mean, what have I got on my hands here?
Well, what if it was like metal from another part of the galaxy?
Yeah, what if it was?
Well, wouldn't that kind of the difference in weight? You know, you're already testing that it's, you know, pure aluminum.
Right. The first easy explanation would have been it could somehow, though unlikely, be aluminum on the outside, then alloy on the inside. But they have now confirmed, nah,
right.
No alloy on the inside. It's pure aluminum, and it's double the weight it ought to be.
Right. That would mean, to me, that would already say that it had to become from another planet, at least. I mean, any metal from any aluminum from the Earth would have to be a certain weight all over the Earth. Now,
well, I generally agree with you, and somebody who knows about isotopes, that's what Linda mentioned, needs to call me or get in touch with me.
Uh-huh.
But they've confirmed that these are not. Have you seen the photographs?
Yes, I have.
You've seen the small pieces?
Yes.
Okay, a lot of people called and said, oh, they're punch-outs, standard punch-outs. No, they're not.
No, it doesn't look like it to me.
Yeah, well, the answer is no, they're not.
No.
And so we've got something weird on our hands, and it's beginning to get to me a little bit, I've got to admit.
For sure.
Hey, what do you think of the letter I got from this guy about this plant?
Well, it's really strange. You know, it's funny. Suppose, like, these seeds actually also did come from another planet. Suppose somehow he found it. And I think we on the Earth are a little bit spoiled if all these plants were nice and benign, you know, and all of a sudden from another planet this seed is definitely...
The demon seed.
Yeah, man-eating or
there
something.
There ought to be no way that a seed could grow a plant that would produce raw, foul-smelling meat. Oh, my God. Maybe this guy will send me a fax. I want to talk to him. All right, sir, thank you very much. Just call me the Rod Serling of the air. I seem to collect this kind of stuff, folks. It's not my fault.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight, featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 30th, 1996. listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight, featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 30th, 1996.
Top of the morning, everybody. You know about the elections in Israel. Incredible news. I'm in favor of what appears to be occurring, and that is the election of Likud with Benjamin Netanyahu, who I have always admired as a man of great character, integrity, and strength. A lot of people disagree with me on that. But that's nothing new. I've got a lot of news for you, and I'm going to try to briefly touch on what has spurred the talk thus far. And let me tell you, people, it's a weird night. A lot of weird things in the air from here. What I call the quickening seems well underway. Somebody reminded me by fax here a moment ago that the Chinese proverb is not a proverb at all, that you shall live in interesting times. It's actually a curse. We are cursed to live in interesting times. And they are getting almost unbearably interesting. By the way, I just got a fax from Major Dames. Do you know who he is? I'll tell you all about him. He was on Nightline not long ago, man who participated in the mind experiments with the government. Black budget stuff. Weird. And what he has to say is weird, too. So, Major, if you're out there, fax me a number where I can call you now or in the next 30 minutes. We'll read that fax in a moment. Two stories from Texas, quickening stuff. A 34-year-old woman came home from job hunting on Tuesday. Her 13-year-old daughter asked her to lie down so she could fix her hair. This is from Houston. The girl combed her hair for a while, then pulled out a revolver, put it to her mother's forehead, and fired. Mother's, of course, dead. The child apparently had plotted the killing for a couple of days, taking her mother's revolver from the trunk of her car and hiding it in their apartment. So this daughter sat there combing her mother's hair for 15 minutes, placed the gun to her mother's forehead, and shot her to death. Or from Austin, if you will, an 11-year-old girl charged Thursday with capital murder, I said 11-year-old, in the beating death of a 2-year-old at an unlicensed home daycare center in Austin. Police there said the toddler was allegedly beaten to death last Friday with a blunt instrument. An autopsy later revealed the girl had suffered several broken bones and a ruptured liver in the beating. The 11-year-old is in custody. Dear Art, the quickening. I have to agree with you there. Things are spinning out of control, and soon we're going to see prophecy fulfilled at an alarming rate. Even more alarming than now. Well, I don't know about that, but there sure as hell is something weird going on. Did you see the photographs of the twisters in eastern Colorado, northeastern Colorado? Incredible. 1,000 homes destroyed, what, a couple of days prior to that, in near Louisville? No, excuse me, 1,100 homes destroyed or damaged. Twisters absolutely out of control. If I didn't know better, I'd say there is weather control and the people who produced the movie are doing it, but of course, they're not. I read this to the audience the other day, and I'm going to read it now in view of the facts I just got from Flagstaff, Arizona. Scientists who study ancient climates are finding the climate in the most recent period in our Earth's history has been, quote, relatively more volatile than previously believed. It implies that, quoting, immense natural climatological, God, I wish I could say that word, catastrophes could come at any time. According to Daniel Moos of the U.S. Geological Survey in Denver, quote, we like to think of whatever climate we're in as normal. And our natural assumption is it will keep on being that way. But that's a very tenuous assumption. From SciTech, from Edward Dames, I believe Major Edward Dames, he just sent me the following minutes ago. Do you know who he is? He was on Nightline. You remember? He was on Nightline. Art, SciTech technical remote viewing data. The jet stream is beginning to shift and writhe. In several years, it's going to sporadically drop down near the deck. Look forward to catastrophic weather changes and very dark skies within the next few years. 125-mile-per-hour microbursts and 300-mile-per-hour grazing winds pick up a lot of dust. I'll save the really grim environmental stuff for later. Keep up the good work, Rod. Respectfully signed, Ed, Edward Dames, President. Ed, send me a fax where you can be called at this hour or about 15 minutes from now, Ed, and we'll bring you up on the air and ask you about this. God, that's pretty grim news, isn't it? Now, just briefly, for those stations joining us at this hour, an update on what I call Art's Parts. The alleged Roswell material. Well, you remember the last episode. We're having these tested, as you know, by scientists, reputable, highly placed but unmentionable scientists. I can't even tell you where right now. They found it to be these pieces. You can see the photographs on my website, by the way, to be pure aluminum. Electron scanning microscope, spectrography, all confirmed the outside to be pure aluminum. Odd. Then they found that for the size, this particular aluminum, strangely, weighed twice what it should have weighed. It was 9999 aluminum, 1100 pure aluminum, but strangely, it weighed twice what it was supposed to weigh. So I authorized a destructive test on one of the pieces. They opened it up. I got a call from Linda Howe last night, Linda Moulton Howe, who, by the way, is acting as the middle person for me. And she said, Art, you're not going to believe what's going on. They did a destructive test on one piece, and the interior is also 9999 aluminum. There is no alloy. So we now have a situation where these strange pieces that purportedly came from Roswell, where there should have been a simple answer, there is not. The scientists are freaked out. Linda Howe is freaked out. They weigh twice what they ought to weigh, and there is no explanation. Linda says they're looking into isotopes, whatever that means. I've now authorized a second piece to be destroyed, and that's going to be the last destructive authorization I give, but they needed it right away. There will be more tests today. But the scientists are scratching their heads. They can't figure out what they've got on their hands. I've received yet another piece. That has now been sent in for testing. They have received it. It allegedly comes from the outside of the craft, delivered to me by the same man, the same anonymous source that was mailed from Charleston, South Carolina, and the final letter also is on my website if you want to go up there and take a look. My website address, by the way, is www.artbell.com. www.artbell.com. So I'm not sure what I've got on my hands. Here's another fact. Art aluminum isotopes contain the same number of protons and electrons, but differ in mass because an isotope contains different numbers of neutrons. Mass spectrometers measure masses of isotopes as well as isotope abundances. God, I don't know what he's talking about. Staub Isotope Ration Analysis, or CIRA, takes advantage of the different chemical and physical properties of isotopes. We know deep space is composed of the same elements as Earth. Pulsars, stellar lighthouses, he calls them, exhibit the same properties as earthly elements. Yes, that certainly is true. God, I don't know what I've got, and I don't know what I'm going to do with this stuff either. If it turns out to be as weird as it seems right now, we've really got something on our hands. Art, the high density of the aluminum might be due to an unusual crystal structure. This could be determined by X-ray diffraction. I'm Somebody else sent me a fax saying the firing of the three Air Force officers today is scapegoating the whole thing, the Ron Brown plane crash, and I tend to agree. The Freeman situation continues to worsen. The FBI is consulting an expert on apocalyptic cults, a biblical scholar, same man who consulted at Waco in 93. He is Philip Arnold. He says this group is a Christian identity group, which, according to him, combines the tenets of, get this, white supremacy with Christian doctrine. How do you combine white supremacy with Christian doctrine? You've got a twist, it seems to me, pretty hard to get there from here. And I can never get there from here. Other odd news from Kuala Lumpur. Malaysian fishermen hauled in a 7.5-meter skeleton of a creature. This is Reuters news. Of a creature they fear is a dragon. I'm not kidding you. The unusual catch found in 175 feet of water off the northern island of Langkawi, Langkawi perhaps, took a half hour, 30 minutes to get on board a fishing trawler. We were shocked. We had no idea what it was, said the captain. Thought it was a dragon, very scared when we were hauling it in. The newspaper published a picture of the skeleton, which I want, which appeared to resemble the remains of a dinosaur. About 10,000 people thronged the pier at the small town, port town of Kuala Kedah when word spread about the unusual catch. So, monsters from the ocean, and if that's not enough, wait till you hear this letter. I read it earlier. I'm going to now read it one more time. Those of you in the Pacific Northwest, brace yourselves. I'm going to read it verbatim. Dear Art Bell, my grandfather passed away a couple of months ago. He lived in Richland, Washington, and worked at Hanford since before I can remember, up until his retirement a couple years ago. He was an avid gardener in his spare time and left behind a beautiful piece of work. Every inch of his property was well tended. However, he also left behind something very disturbing. When my family and I went through his house one last time before it sold, I chanced upon a large metal chest that was hidden under some empty cardboard boxes in the basement. It was heavily locked. Thinking nothing of it at the time, I broke the lock and opened the heavy lid. The chest was completely lined with lead, and inside were several glass jars sealed airtight. The jars contained a variety of ordinary-looking seeds. So, I took the whole chest home with me to Seattle. Now it gets weird. The next day, I planted just one single seed from one of the jars. The thing that grew from it has to be one of the most horrible things I've ever seen. It grew faster than anything I've ever heard of. Within a month, it occupied my entire backyard, choking out and killing all the other plants in its path with its creeping vines and broad, spiny leaves. It bloomed huge, grotesque flowers that smelled like rotting flesh. The bees ignored them, but the flies swarmed. Several days later, the blooms wilted, and the plant started budding its terrible fruit, fist-sized chunks of raw meat. Before I could stop them, my dog had eaten one. He became very sick. Within a few hours, all of his hair fell out, and he died. I'm scared, Art. I tried angrily to hack the plant with a machete, but its thorny vines are extremely tough. It's now growing back stronger and faster than before. Nobody that I know has any idea what it is or what to do, and I'm on the verge of contacting the local authorities. God help us if the rest of these seeds should ever fall into the wrong hands. Signed, Bill in Seattle. That's pretty weird stuff, folks. And it just goes on and on and on. So we're in the middle of another, I don't know what you would call this, another flash of totally weird stuff as the moon grows full. All right, back to talk radio. That catches you up on just a little bit of what I have. And you've got to admit, it's weird. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. Charles from St. Louis.
Yes, sir. Hi, Charles.
How you doing?
Well,
I've known that too good.
Yeah, there you are.
Yeah, you know, those Roswell parts, the only thing that I can come up with, well, just thinking, I'm not an expert, but do you think it was forged or it's melted in a different gravitational environment than Earth or greater?
Charles, I don't know.
I mean, I know you don't know.
All I know is what I've reported to you as they send me. Now, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Charles. I think that I'm going to have Linda Howe, depending on the report, I may have her on the program tomorrow night to give a report, because this is beginning to get to me.
Yeah, I could tell by the sound of your voice.
Yeah. I mean, people think it's great to get this kind of thing, and it is at first, but it's becoming a serious burden.
Yeah, you got to be careful for what you wish for.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what a lot of the Palestinians are probably thinking this morning. You know, they wanted to ruin the peace process. Well, now they've got their wish.
Yeah. Okay. One more thing about that Freeman thing. I don't see how they can call themselves Freeman now that they're.
And this Christian identity thing, white supremacy and Christian values.
I mean, to call themselves Freeman and they can't even leave their own compound.
Yeah, well, you know what I think they are? I think they're confused men.
Yeah.
And that's being kind.
Yeah, I think we got to come up with another name for them because I think that's a misnomer.
All right, thanks. Yeah, I agree with you completely. And confused men is what we ought to call them. Having said all that, you know, there's women, there's children in there, and I said this the other night, I'm going to say it again now. They can hear me, I know they can. We're covered more than any other radio program in Montana, and it's time to cut out the crap and come the hell out of there. I'm telling you right now, the FBI is beginning to get serious. They've moved the news people away. There's a reason for that, I'm sure. They have set up the generator. They're getting set to cut power if they have not already done it. There's a reason for that, too. You know, have you people lost your minds? Do you really think this is worth dying for? And if you do, then at least be men enough to send the women and children out. If you have decided you're going to fight this out and it's going to be World War III and Armageddon, personal Armageddon, then I'm telling you, get the women, get the children out of there, and then have your war if that's really, really what you want. But if you're really men, you know, free men, then you'll get the women and children out first. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight, featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 30th, 1996.
Thank you.
listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight, featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 30th, 1996.
And I've got SciTech's president, Major Edward Dames, on the line, and we're going to bring him up here in just a moment. Let me clear the commercial load so we get the half hour clear. All right, well, I don't have to tell you about the weather. The tornadoes that destroyed or damaged 1,000 homes near Louisville. Yesterday, tornadoes in northeast Colorado. Horrible tornadoes. Giant tornadoes. And the nation has just been inundated with horrible weather. I got a fax a little while ago from Major Ed Dames. He is president of SciTech. They do remote viewing. It was the subject of Nightline. You'll recall the government, over many years now, has dumped a lot of money and time and effort into remote viewing. So it's not as crazy as it might seem. The facts from Major Dame says the jet stream is beginning to shift and writh. In several years, it will sporadically drop down near the deck. We are the deck here. Look forward to catastrophic weather changes and very dark skies within the next few years. 125-mile-per-hour microbursts, 300-mile-per-hour grazing winds pick up lots of dust. And he says, I'll save the really grim environmental stuff for later. And I managed to get him on the line. I know it's very, very late. Major, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Art.
Let's see, where to begin. This is a pretty serious fax, but you know it's backed up by another little news item I've got, people saying that suddenly that the weather we've been having is unusual, is not normal, is not cyclical, that something is going on, and that seems to be exactly what you're saying. What can you tell us?
Well, we have the company, SciTech, in addition to our training and our high-level contracts that we perform for our various agencies and corporations, we have two in-house projects. One is an in-house study, an environmental study, and the other is a project that we call Project Starman. These are our own projects, initiative projects, if you will. The environmental study has been ongoing for about 2 years now. It'll probably take us another year to finalize our results, if we have another year. And, using technical remote viewing, the same methods we use to track terrorists, for the government and to, find hostages, and to cross-queue other intelligence systems during the Gulf War. We use these methods, for peaceful purposes. SciTech civilianized the technology.
Right.
We began to download data indicating that human babies would be dying soon, many human babies. And so I won't get into all the technical aspects of this, but to make long story short here, it appears that we're dealing with a very immunosuppressed planet in technological shorthand. Babies will begin to die, I think, because of this, many human babies. If you look at the surroundings now in terms of the biosphere, we will probably not have any frogs left on the planet.
I've seen stories about disappearing frogs.
Yeah,
that's right.
What's happening? Our work indicates, again, not finished studies, but our own study indicates that shortwave ultraviolet is killing frogs' eggs. Eggs are laid in shallow parts of the water, and they're deionizing radiation from the UVB, the short ultraviolet rays, are killing, first mutating and now killing the eggs. So that is one aspect that we're looking at. So we have dying human babies. Essentially, what it appears to be is allegorically like the planet is administering its own antibiotics. Antibiotics to take off or to take out something that is ailing its surface.
Us.
Yeah. And ultraviolet's a good way of accelerating that. So you see a lot of mutations, of course, in bacteria and viruses, particularly bacteria. that's the information that we have. Again, our report won't be finished for another year. But I thought I would tip you off, particularly about the problem with babies. It appears that there is a bovine AIDS that is developing. This will jump ship, and it's transmitted by dairymen who will use the same needle to inject hormones in their dairy cows. Of course, they'll deny this until they can't any longer. But this bovine AIDS will become a toxicological insult, that's the terminology in toxicology, to human babies whose immune systems are nascent, and they will die in relatively large numbers.
Good.
So not something to look forward to, but sometimes the facts or that kind of a warning will serve to get a lot of mothers on putting their babies on mother's milk, human mother's milk, and perhaps milk substitutes.
Whew.
We're looking at some other problems too, broken atomic reactors in the former East Bloc countries. The maintenance is not being pulled the way it used to be. So we're going to stress ourselves out radiation-wise, too, from both ends. Ionizing radiation from above, that's because of the ozone layer holes, and from below, our own problems.
What about the climate? Arguably, the hurricane season and now the tornado season have been horrible. I mean, absolutely horrible.
Yeah, we're looking at it. Before our study, we did not realize how delicately balanced the Earth's environment was. We assumed that it could reestablish homeostasis or equilibrium quite easily after drastic changes, but that was not true. I was amazed at how delicately balanced the planet was, the ecosphere, and the geophysics.
Right.
And it looks like the atmosphere is degrading very rapidly at timelines that we thought were out in the decades are now less than a decade. And that is resulting in the jet stream. Specifically, one of the things that we looked at was the jet stream over North America. And we're predicting that the jet stream will begin to, as I mentioned in the facts, twist and writhe and start to drop down and graze the surface of the Earth or come near it. Jet stream moves about 300 miles an hour, but it will produce chaotic effects among those, probably microbursts and other things. Eventuating, it will pick up a lot of dust. There'll be a lot of dust in the air, very dark skies. The vicissitudes of these weather changes will preclude growing crops the way we have ever grown them before. Either you grow them underground or in very solid buildings or in hermetically sealed units.
How close?
Plexiglass structures.
How close to this are we?
My company is 1 year out from a final report, but I'd say we're looking at from 4 to 6 years between where the stuff really hits the fan. That means that you're going to have to start going indoors for long periods of time because of the high winds. And, we'll have water and crop problems to boot.
And what is this all related? Now, you talked about babies dying, immunological changes, our immune systems weakening or being weakened, and the climate changes. Is this all being produced or done by, is the same effect behind it somewhere?
I'm not certain. I'm not certain if the two are correlated. All I'm saying is that when we work the way that we work, we see these parallel tracks, the degradation of the atmosphere in conjunction with very rapid mutations and extremely serious epidemics and pandemics, mostly bacteriological, to the point where the Center for Disease Control, along with many laboratories, will not be able to keep up with vaccines, the bacteriological mutations and their subsequent epidemics, epidemiologically speaking, will run ahead of our ability to counter them, producing very serious epidemics in particularly third world countries, Africa, and even developed countries like China.
Major, what probability do you assign to this all occurring as you have suggested it will occur? In other words, is there some probability that a different path can be?
No, No, the answer is no. I wouldn't be talking to you on the phone. When I speak about SciTech studies, I put my company's reputation on the line. Here we just have general and cursory results, and there's no my signature is not on a report to the public yet, but it's the confidence factors are high enough to tell you that this is what is going to occur as far as we're concerned in the company. The timelines have not been established. But as far as we're concerned, and we have double-checked this, it's too late. There's no remedial action.
God, what advice do you give to individuals? If somebody called you and said, all right, I believe you. All this is going to happen. I think you're right.
Okay.
What can I do?
All right. You need to move to a cold climate. The colder, the better. Here are the parameters.
Rain.
Cold climate will stay the introduction of tropical diseases, African equine encephalitis, chikungunya, Ebola, a number of other orphan diseases are tropical, and they can't mutate fast enough to become other than latent in cold weather. So cold climates, they will be of survival value, as well as presenting the opportunity for fresh water. Snowpacks have lots of fresh water. So that's one thing. The winds that will be predominant in the mid latitudes of the earth, mostly, are going to be very high. So if you could build underground or be in extremely solid structures, that will be necessary. Food will be a real problem, a very, very serious problem. And
so in other words, store food.
Well, yeah, store food, but we're going to have to, as a country, start really rethinking the way we grow food. It's ridiculous to think that we can continue to grow crops the way we do now, subject to the changes in the weather that we see right now, not to mention in a few years where we'll have no food. Our wheat crop's gone for the first time, I think, in history.
It's true.
Yeah.
There's a horrendous drought in the Midwest. What can you forecast for that? Is there going to be relief, or it just continues to worsen?
The crop shortages and the price of food is going to become aggravated by this situation to the point where we are either going to have to grow food underground or in hermetically sealed above ground units. Crops need light, so they're going to have to have light. We're going to run into some serious problems. We'll probably have to, in a number of years, import food from climates that are not covered, that are not dust clouded or dust enshrouded. And that's north, predominantly the southern hemispheres. But they'll have their own problems because, the dust is both a blessing and a curse. The ozone, as the ozone holes, and I say not just one hole, but holes begin to occur, this is kind of a metastasis and a cancer that's eating away at the upper levels of the atmosphere that I don't think scientists have detected yet. When this begins to occur, the dust cover in North America and in Europe and in the mid-latitudes will prevent us from receiving the deleterious effects of UVB, but the light, all the light that's required to grow crops normally will be in the southern latitudes, and there those crops will be exposed to UVB, high levels of ionizing radiation, and it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. The very bottom of the food chain will begin to die off in those latitudes because of the ionizing radiation. So we're in for some grim times.
Major, when did you begin coming to these conclusions? When did this data begin to harden for you?
We actually, the military remote viewing team, I was the operations officer and one of the remote viewers for that team, began to pick up the dying babies about 10 years ago.
10 years ago?
About 10 years ago. And, of course, that kind of work had nothing to do with national defense issues, so we didn't spend a lot of time with it. We were looking at the Russians and the Chinese and other potential adversaries.
So it was really then when you moved into the civilian sector that you began to concentrate on this?
That's correct. When I civilianized the military technology and founded SciTech, we began to look at this and another project that we call Project Starman that we keep pretty close to our chest. These are our two in-house projects that are our initiative SciTech projects where we essentially do the studies and provide the public with the outcome.
Major,
on our technology.
As you look ahead, this grim outlook, can you tell how long it will last, whether there will be any relief, or does it just keep getting worse?
We've looked out in the out years pretty far, and in fact, we did a study for the Institute of for the Human Potential Foundation in Washington, D.C. a number of years ago. SciTech did this study, and as a result of that, saw that these effects last quite a while. But I'm not ready to put timelines on it yet. I will say, however, that the effects that we're beginning to experience now started about a year ago, and they're going to become catastrophic sooner than we think. In ballpark, I'd say 4.5 to 6 years max. That's when people will spend a lot of time indoors.
There's a lot of people out there who would say this is just sort of millennium madness. Not so, huh?
I would like, it's very attractive for all of us to think that, and I'm not here trying to fuel any paranoia, but it's more than millennial madness. I think that maybe the Bible pinned it down, and that's where it called it right years ago.
I've called it, I'm just a talk host, Major, and I observe, and I watch the news, and I dissect the news and pick it apart for what's controversial and interesting, and I've done that for a dozen years just doing this program alone, and I have come to call it the quickening. I know that you've heard me say that. And that's all I can say, that things are changing and rapidly and at a very much accelerating pace. I don't know where it's going. I don't know where it's headed, but you apparently do, and it certainly is a grim outlook. No escape, huh?
No, there isn't. Doesn't appear to be an escape. We can't evolve as a race unless we survive, so that's one of the reasons. That's a predominant reason why SciTech is conducting this environmental study to attempt to at least get survival information out on the streets, because we simply can't evolve as a race unless we survive. So watch for despeciation and sterilization. Many, many species will start to die out. Like all the multitude of species of birds that you normally see from season to season, you'll see fewer and fewer species as the years go by.
What will Major Dames and Company do? What are you doing? Can you even tell us? I mean, you must, with the knowledge you have, you've got to be personally and from a corporate point of view, preparing yourself to survive.
That's correct. Personally and from a corporate point of view, we are preparing ourselves to survive.
Well, you're in Beverly Hills, California.
Not for long.
Well, that was the name. So, in other words, you're going to follow your own advice, and you're going to be getting out of there pretty soon?
Within 2 years.
Within 2 years. And can you tell us where you'll be headed?
I think I'll be heading for points west and south.
What, west and south?
Yeah.
West and south. Well, you go west to Beverly Hills and you're in the water.
That's right.
So you're headed for an island somewhere.
That's a good guess.
Oh, God. This is horrible news, and it is a... How many people have with you come to these conclusions? How big is the team?
It's 30 now.
30 people?
Yeah, 30. And these people are trained at standards as good or better than the technical remote training team that I employed for military operations.
Well, I'm sure you've scared a lot of people this morning. What I guess I better do is ask you if on another night, we can schedule a program with you at an earlier hour, to begin at an earlier hour.
We can do that. Again, keep in mind, though, that these are in-house studies. The studies will require, this particular study, this environmental study, will require another year of work before I sign my name to the report. So we're talking about preliminary interim results here.
All right, so in other words, consider what you have just told us to be preliminary information.
That's correct.
Major, I want to thank you very much for being here this morning, and we will schedule a program with you. Thank you, my friend.
The pleasure's mine.
Take care. Major Ed Dames, president of SciTech. And I don't know what to tell you about what you just heard, but it was compelling, and I felt it should be on the air.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight, featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 30th, 1996. Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired May 30th, 1996.
Well, I am here, more or less. Not quite in the same condition I was a half hour ago, but I am here. Art, after Major Ed Dames, I have the same feeling I had when I missed the $15 million lottery by one number. I lost my cookies, Todd in San Antonio. Or Art, regarding the jet stream dropping, Robert Ghostwolf's prediction, 300-mile-an-hour winds. Go in and go inside and shut your doors. Wow, Laura in Williams, Oregon. I don't know where Williams, Oregon is. Thank you, Laura. I don't know what to say about the last half hour. It wasn't planned, as most of what I do on the air is not planned. I don't know if you know who Major Dames is. You should. If you follow this sort of thing. But it sounds too possible to me. I didn't say impossible, I said too possible. The lines of deterioration socially, economically, scientifically, climatologically, I can almost say that, are seem clear to me, and so I somehow I'm not surprised by what I just heard. I don't know. I guess I'd just like to get your comments. That was horrendous. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning. Hello there. No, you're not. Wild card line, I missed you. I'm sorry. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. Did you get a package from the U District in the last week, 10 days?
I don't know. I've got, listen, I've got so much mail that I can't answer that question.
I sent you a air combat game, a computer game.
Oh, I did get it. Yes, I did get it. I've got it. Thank you. And it's still sitting in the box. I've not booted it into the computer yet. Is it cool?
Oh, man, it is so much fun, especially the secret weapons of the Luftwaffe.
Really?
It's got so much to offer. It's so detailed, and the graphics are just so excellent.
All right, well, you've talked me into it. I'll boot her up in the morning. Yes, I've got it. Thank you very much. That was very kind.
I told you I was going to send it. And also, I really enjoy the updates on Comet. That little guy sounds like he's coming along pretty good there.
Comet, such a... you know, it's to the point now, and I'll give you a little update. I'll give you a Comet update. Thank you. Comet is my wild cat, and man, he really is wild, but he's coming around slowly but surely. You know what I've discovered? He loves steak. So when I have steak at night, yes, I eat steak, I save always a piece now, and I break it into, shred it into little parts, you know, and I've got to chase him around a little while, but here's how far it's come. I mean, we're talking a cat that went, you know, 5 feet into the air when it came out of anesthetic. We're talking a cat that ran into walls so hard that it bloodied his little head. This was just when he came out of anesthetic. Now it's to the point, I do it very carefully, folks, but I put the little shredded steak pieces in my hand, and I go up, and Comet goes, sniffs them a few times, and declares me to be okay, and I put them down in front of him, and I'm now able to pet him. And you have no idea, I mean, if you knew how wild this cat was, you would understand how far I've come. I can pet him, and he will sit there and eat the steak and purr. Now, I've never tried to hold him again. I'm not that dumb. Dumb once, dumb twice maybe, but dumb three times, you know. No. So, I'm really making progress with Comet. And I can pet him and pet him and pet him, and he'll finally... He turns around, you know, and he looks at my hand, which is petting him. And he looks at it like, are you out of your mind touching me? You know, he's got that look on his face. Have you lost your mind? Do you want to lose more of your precious skin? But he doesn't do anything. He doesn't bite me. And I'm operating under, we shall not bite the hand that feeds us. And he has not bitten me. In fact, I pet him every day now two or three times. He still tends to run away when he sees me because he's unsure. But now he's to the point where he'll run just a little ways. And he'll stop and he'll watch me intently. Oh, he watches me just like a hawk. But he lets me pet him. And he purrs. And so we're on the way. That's the Comet update for today. That's my... my cat that was so named for a lot of reasons, one of them being the Comet Hayakutake was screeching overhead at the time. By the way, there was a story on that comet indicating that it has a very ancient origin. Ran yesterday on ABC Evening News. I wonder if anybody happened to catch that. Well, this is going to affect me now for the rest of the day. The unexpected Major Dame's report. I wonder how it settled in on you. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Charlie, liberal in California.
Speaking of 300-mile-an-hour destructive winds.
Let me just say that I wanted to thank that black college for keeping this despicable, you know, the black Supreme Court justice, what's-his-face. Speaking at one of their forums.
What's his face? We're talking about a Supreme Court Justice of the United States.
Well, he's a lowlife. Anyway, but I think what black people understand in this country is that just because you're a Supreme Court Justice and just because you're black, you do not stand up for the principles that black people stand up for, then you shouldn't speak at any of their functions. And I think that's what those black individuals were saying. They understand that black people have advanced to the middle class stage that they are, not because of conservatism, but because of liberalism, because liberalism has opened doors for them.
Boy, are you wrong. Boy, is it the other way around.
You're out of
your mind. Boy, are blacks across America beginning to realize what total damn frauds liberals are.
No, I think what's happening is you look at the black middle class, the amount of doctors, the amount of lawyers that are in the black middle class right now. As a matter of fact, you had Rush Limbaugh making the argument for liberalism. He didn't even know he was doing it when he said that the reason that blacks aren't joining the military in the numbers that they used to is because the black middle class is expanding at an astounding rate.
Well, it is, but no thanks to liberalism.
No, that's exactly thanks to liberalism.
No,
because when you look at the professions that blacks have broken into in the last 30 years, especially the medical profession,
I wouldn't argue that.
Police officers, those are due to those are due to, A, affirmative action, but they're also due to the fact that money has been thrown into the college sector where people can get loans.
Charlie,
and
in your mind, Charlie, liberalism is compassion, conservatism is racism, right?
Well, I would say conservatism is intolerance, and intolerance and racism are very, very closely related. Unfortunately, people on that intolerant realm don't realize that they're dipping into the racist mold, but unfortunately that does happen.
All right, thanks. Well, some do it intentionally in the extremes, Charles. A good example of that would be what's so-called Christian identity movement. That one still blows my mind, too. As a matter of fact, if anything's going to bring on 300-mile-an-hour winds, it's probably that kind of crap. Christian identity that supposedly combines white supremacist ideals with Christian ideals. That's still getting to me. That's the one that bring on the 300-mile-an-hour winds. White supremacy and Christian values. God. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, Art. I'm a long-time listener. I've been listening to you for probably 4 years. I'm an insomniac, and I love your show. I think you're great, and you're doing a great job, especially with the scientific remote viewing. Have you read Courtney Brown's book, Cosmic Voyage, by any chance?
I have not yet, but it's sitting out there waiting for me.
Man.
I guess I should. What did you think of Major Dames?
I think he's hitting the nail right on the head. If you understand scientific remote viewing, and if you've read Courtney Brown's book...
I guess that's better.
It sounds like, to me, it sounds like the Great Tribulation. You know, it sounds like we're going down some type of ending downward spiral into God knows what. It's not one thing, it's another, all at once happening.
Maybe he is the one who knows and the only one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tell you what, that's something else.
I wish I could say that sounds like so much... black magic and baloney, but I'm sorry. Every feeling inside of me tells me to not be surprised at what the major said.
Yeah, it is kind of depressing and discouraging, but heck, you know, it's bound to happen. Hopefully it won't, but I think it probably will.
Mm.
But anyway, I want to thank you for having your show. I wish WKY here in Oklahoma City would carry you from 1 to 6 a.m. like they used to.
Well, give them a call.
I've done that before. I have to pick you up from WOAI out of San Antonio.
Right. Well, radio stations, thank you very much for the call. I'll say this one more time, and I'll say it very carefully because it is very important. Radio stations are responsive, ultimately, to their customers. And I would just one little caveat, and that is whenever you call a station, and I know a lot of you are very big fans of the program, and for that I'm very thankful. And so occasionally it is in order to call the radio station you're listening to. If you want to get Dreamland on, if you want to get more hours on, whatever, it is not out of line to give them a call and talk to the programming people or management people. But please remember when you do that these are business people. You know, they have whatever certain programming they have on, and generally they have contractual obligations that go with that programming. In other words, they have signed a contract, and so change comes slowly. And the last thing that you want to do is call up any radio station and say, hey, you know, that stuff you're running, that's really a bunch of crap. It's awful. See, right then, you're going to put them very much on the defensive, and everything else that you have to say isn't even going to be heard, because they're going to be really ticked off at you for saying something like that. So don't approach it from that point of view. Too many people do that. Approach them politely. And if you want to hear more of something, don't tell them what they're doing wrong. Tell them what you would like to do that you think is right, that would really please you, the customer, the listener, that sort of thing. And make a positive suggestion, or appear to be coming, and truly do be coming, from a positive point of view. So, of course, we appreciate that when you do that. We appreciate all you've done for us. God, we're coming out number one everywhere, you know, just everywhere. We touched down. It's absolutely amazing, the number one ratings for this program. But I'm not surprised. And I don't have a big head and think it's because of what I'm doing. I think it's simply because of the way I'm doing it, the diversity, the open lines, the unscreened lines, calls, the diversity. I'm convinced, I am simply, absolutely convinced that talk radio is making a big mistake by doing nothing but pounding on politics all day long, day in, day out. Rush does it. It's his niche. But why should everybody else try and follow in the big man's footsteps? Big mistake. Talk radio is a wonderful, wonderful forum. But it doesn't have to be stuck in one little niche. Talk radio can be so much more. And here, in this program, I try to make it so. And be an example for others. And the ratings, ultimately, I think will force an examination in the industry of what's being done elsewhere. In fact, really, that's already going on. So, to summarize, I'm glad you enjoy the show. If you would like to get more hours at WKY or any other, you know, we're, what, 274 affiliates now or something. I'll give them a call, be polite, and simply tell them what you would like, what you would enjoy, and what you like about their radio station. Be nice. You attract more with, what is it, honey, than vinegar or something. First-time caller line, you're on the air.
Art?
Yes.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Believe it.
Do you think it's possible that the debris that you've got is not necessarily from, oh, how do you put it, from what we see in the stars in the physical universe, but the abnormalities are from another dimension?
Yeah. You know, how am I going to answer this? I don't know what I've got. It seems anomalous, very anomalous at this point, but I don't know where it's from. I have no idea. I'm going by the letter. I presume the man is telling me the story his grandfather told him, that it came from the Roswell team. And until I know otherwise, I will continue to think that may be so. But another dimension, sure, it could be another dimension.
Well, it seems to me that it doesn't matter what you get from any part of the universe, the galaxy, that it's going to weigh the same. And
not necessarily weigh the same.
Well,
the elements certainly are going to be similar. If the Big Bang is the way it all began,
yes, then
elements are going to be similar throughout. Yes. So could it be from another dimension? Yeah, sure. Thanks for the call, sir. I don't know. How do you answer a question like that? You can't. I can't. I wouldn't even endeavor to do so. Look, I report things to you as they come along, as they occur. And that's all I can do, but I'm not going to make guesses that I'm not qualified to make. I'm barely even qualified to have this material. I'm not even very confident that I should, you know, I'm not comfortable having it. I guess I had to put it that way. You have no idea. This is not the most comfortable thing in the world, period. Not at all. On the first time caller line, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm in Paris, California.
Yes, sir.
I was wondering, I've never heard anybody discussing astrology, as it's called on your show. Do you have any feelings about it?
Well, I'll tell you about it. I am, number one, generally a believer in sun signs. In other words, I'm a Gemini, for what it's worth, and I absolutely have Gemini characteristics, and I have observed that other people generally also follow their sun sign characteristics, so I sort of believe in it. But what I don't like, and I have never done, because it stinks, is to have some astrologer on, and, you know, you call up and your date and your time of birth or whatever, and then they tell you about yourself. You know what I think of that?
You know, on that line there, if you've ever noticed on those like infomercials for psychics,
yes,
when they're doing their little demonstration, the woman or the psychic, I've almost seen every time goes, "What's your birthday?" In other words, they're just using mathematical astrology to
doing that kind of thing is one of the very largest mistake that talk show hosts make across the country, and I will explain that. So to answer your first question, I think that there is something to astrology. I really do. But, and it's a big but, I don't do things with it on the air. And there is an insufficient amount of time to explain to you why right now, but I will when I come back from this break. How's that? And I'll tell you why you never hear it on my program and never will. Maybe we'll do a discussion generally about astrology one day, but I'll tell you why generally you won't hear it here.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight, featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 30th, 1996. Somewhere in Time. Tonight, featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 30th, 1996.
You know, sometimes I scare myself. I really do. There are some programs I do that leave me speechless. Scares me, and I'm doing it. Anyway, let me finish a thought I started. The gentleman called about astrology, and I'm going to give a free tip, hard-learned, to a lot of talk show hosts out there, and it is the following. A lot of talk hosts at smaller radio stations, you know, places where they have a hard time getting calls, make a tragic error in judgment. They will bring these astrologers on. You know, you've heard them on talk stations all over the place. You know, and they're Swami so-and-so, and they will ask you for your birth date, and they will ask you what you want to know. Oh, great Swami, tell me about my financial future. Well, I see you changing jobs here in the next 18 months, and blah, 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 and they will give you this reading. And it goes on for hours. And the talk show host, who is normally sitting there scratching for calls because he's talking only about how much he hates Clinton and never anything else, you know, he gets the astrologer on and the lines light up like a Christmas tree. Well, he thinks, wow, how cool. We're getting a really big audience. No, they're not. What he's really doing is driving the majority of his audience away. Why? Because do you have any idea how boring it is to sit and listen? I mean, it's nice for Joe Schmo who managed to get through, and he's getting his reading. It's great for him. But to whoever else might be listening, it's a crushing bore. So generally, they'll do it for 2-3 hours. Lines will be hotter than a firecracker. Then the astrologer goes away, and the talk show host opens the lines for something else, and all of a sudden finds out they're deader than a doornail. Well, it's the classic mistake they make. They're programming to individual people who, of course, are calling to get their free whatever. But everybody else, bored to death, went away, could care less. And talk show hosts make it that mistake again and again and again. And it's because they're looking at telephone response instead of considering the larger audience out there, which they have been, frankly, by doing that, totally inconsiderate of. So that's why you never hear me do that kind of thing here. In my opinion, it is inconsiderate to the larger audience. Talk show hosting 101, for what it's worth. Won't matter, they won't follow my advice anyway. I'll tell you something kind of cool that's happening while we're on the subject of talk show hosts. I've got one good friend coming up tomorrow. I'm going to fly up. And bringing somebody with him that I've wanted to meet and somebody who's wanted to meet me. A very good friend of mine who worked with me in Las Vegas at what is now a rival radio station. Actually, after all those years, that's a whole nother story. Jim Allen, who is now, I call him Mr. Kogo, down working for KOGO in San Diego, the affiliate I'm on in San Diego, is getting on an airplane and flying into Pahrump, my little desert town, and bringing with him another cyber friend, somebody I've been corresponding with for some time, whose name is Mr. KFI, also on a rival radio station in Los Angeles. But we have corresponded, and so they are flying up, and a friend of theirs, a pilot, is flying them up in the morning, this morning. So Jim and Mr. KFI are going to come up, and we're going to have a talk show host talk. Be a lot of fun, and that's occurring this morning. Now back to where I was. From Dick in Hawaii, Art, for years, I've been saying somewhat in jest that someday scientists are going to announce they have done calculations that prove that we have set something in motion, that we've screwed things up so badly that life will soon be impossible on Earth, and it's too late to do anything about it. Just tuned in to the last few minutes of the interview seems this is exactly what they're about to announce. Can I purchase a copy of the entire interview? Keep up the good work. I'm afraid the end is coming. P.S. When he said he's moving from Southwest from California, I bet you anything he's going to New Zealand. Okay, well, the answer is a tentative no. You can't buy that interview. And the reason is that it was unscheduled. Just like everything else I do in this program, the major faxed me. It was spontaneous. We just put them on the air, and I did not expect to get what I got. So I don't know. I mean, I can ask the network. Generally, we don't do half-hour segments or provide them for the public, but I will check with the network, all right? I realize that what just aired scared the pants off a lot of people, and so I'll see what I can find out, but right now, don't call trying to get a copy of it, please, because I don't know that you can. Or this, aloha, Art. It's Dean from Kauai. Kauai. Such a beautiful name. I don't like saying it, Art, but the report from Major Dames really sounded like something that I already knew. Kind of eerie. All I can say is, from where it sounds he's heading, well, I'm already there. Huh. Yeah, in Kauai, huh? I am not going to tell you that what the major said didn't affect me. It did. And I guess I feel about the way you do, Dean. I don't like hearing things that I already sort of knew. Do you all understand what I mean? It's what Dean said. It's what I'm saying. Hearing him say that really scared me, because I think I already knew it, sort of, subconsciously, not fully. But as I listened to his words, I had this eerie feeling that what I was hearing was something I already knew, sort of a mental deja vu. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Going once, going twice, gone. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art Bell. I haven't talked to you in a coon's age.
Well, welcome.
This is Dorothy, formerly of Liberal, now west of the Rockies.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I've got so much news to tell you. Just came from Florida, and 2 weeks ago, did you hear about the earthquake they had down there?
I did not. Florida?
Yep. It was registered from Orlando to, from Ocala south to south of Orlando.
Maybe I did hear something about it now that I think about it, but how big was it? Was it a 4-point something?
I do not know the exact numbers, but it was registered, and then there was some aftershocks.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a building that shook from one end to the other.
Wow.
Let's see. Have you heard anything about the mad cow disease that was over in England?
Yes.
That there was a big article in the Lake City newspaper, Lake City, Florida, that had been in Florida for the last 10 years, from 85 to 95,
yes, I've been,
100 and some people died. So
yes, I have been hearing these things.
And I talked to your good buddy down at KSCB Radio in Liberal today.
Yes.
And they went tornado chasing, and there was 3 and 4 on the ground at one time. They said this is very, very unusual.
I know. Did you hear Major Dames?
Yes, I did.
Do you know what? Did you have the same eerie feeling of hearing something that you sort of subconsciously knew?
Yes, sir. I've known it for many years. It was coming in visions and visions and visions, and I said, "What in the world? Am I losing my mind here?"
Mm-hmm.
It's happening all over.
That's what a lot of people are going to say about us for even talking about this. Are you losing your minds? I hope not.
Well, I'm in California now. I came to witness a real earthquake.
Well, I've
been dodging the storms.
Well, you're liable to see that vision soon.
Well, just a little taste of it. I don't want the full impact.
I know. I understand, and I thank you for the call. That's a very eerie feeling. Very eerie feeling. Not a good feeling. Hearing something that when you hear it, it resonates with something that subconsciously you already knew. It's a kind of discomforting, scary deja vu. Intellectual deja vu. As I say, sometimes I scare the hell out of myself. A wild card line, you're on the air.
Art Bell.
Yes.
This is Mr. Nomad in Houston.
How you doing?
Oh, not too bad. I was just wondering if you'd like a quick lesson on isotopes and some possible speculation as to what the...
By all means, you've heard my story to date. What can you tell me?
Okay, well, basically, you know, the nucleus of an atom is composed of protons and neutrons.
Yes, sir.
Protons determine what element you have.
Right.
13 protons is aluminum, 12 is magnesium, 14 is silicon.
Okay.
If you change the number of neutrons, then what you have is an isotope. Okay? This
how do you, how is that done? By exposure to, or bombardment?
Right. Bombardment might be one, or decay, certain radioactive elements decay, or some just occur naturally. One isotope that's pretty common that you've heard of is like heavy water.
Sure.
Right, that's where, that was deuterium, what the, I guess the Nazis were trying to build a bomb with.
Okay, can you tell me with respect to, the pieces they're now testing?
Mm-hmm.
I've caught you up. In other words, the outside was pure aluminum, the inside is pure aluminum. They've measured and remeasured and remeasured, according to Linda yesterday. And each time they remeasure, it comes out the same. The weight is roughly twice what it should be. They thought, aha, a bad alloy. Something inside, so they did all the same testing on the inside, and damn if it still doesn't come out to be 9999 aluminum, but twice the weight. So now they're moving toward isotope testing. What's a logical explanation for this?
Well, that all this coming to a conclusion that it's an isotope, I, this is just, you know, from what I know about chemistry. I'm not an expert. But if you change the number of neutrons, then that becomes an isotope. It'll change the weight, but not really the chemical properties. So it'll look like aluminum, smell like aluminum, everything, except it'll just be heavier. But it may have different nuclear properties, how it reacts on, like, a nuclear level. So what it might be, this is just, once again, speculation. If this did come from an off-worldly source, you would probably have to go through great effort to make this particular isotope that you say weighs twice as much as it should.
Perhaps it looks...
some sort of a special design of metal for shielding for, you know, interstellar travel. It would make it less susceptible to damaging radiation from that occurs naturally from stars, etc.
Well,
it might act like lead shielding, except weigh a lot less.
Except weigh a lot less. And also be an interesting environment, if you presume... Now, here I go, Mr. Science, I'm not, but if you presume that there is some sort of magnetic drive being used, I barely know what I'm talking about here. It would seem that something like aluminum, which is conductive but not magnetically influenced, would be an ideal material to build from, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it sure would, and also you make an isotope, you're adding neutrons, which doesn't change the electrical charge of it, so that wouldn't really affect it magnetically in any way.
I really appreciate the info. Thank you.
Sure. Maybe this might give them an avenue for testing to subject it to nuclear bombardment, see if it acts, you know, as a better...
Well, they're looking for isotopes now. That's okay. They've come to that. Thank you. Again, I got a very... sort of strained, I should have saved it, although I didn't have her permission to play it, so I got a very strained, urgent call from Linda Howe, Moulton Howe, asking me for permission to do a second destructive test. This comes on the heels, because of all I just explained to you, this comes on the heels of receipt of the final materials from the gentleman who sent them. And these final materials were even more bizarre to my way of thinking. I'll try to get some photographs of this newest stuff. I'll try. It is the most bizarre stuff you've ever seen, this newest material. And the scientists have just received that. You know, I got it out of my hands fast. But it was fully charred on the outside. It was metallic in nature. It had, you could look through a magnifying glass, take a magnifying glass to it, and see 30 or 40 incredibly tightly packed. Without a magnifying glass, it looks like a single piece of metal. With a magnifying glass, it's obviously not. It's sandwiched metal of some kind. Compressed to about a quarter of an inch in thickness, but obviously 30 or 40 separate pieces of metal somehow bonded together. The outside is very charred, as though it was burned, or it could have been in a crash, somehow scorched, maybe in reentry, who knows. But it is claimed in the letter, and you can read the letter on my website, that this was from the exterior skin of the spacecraft. So that is the newest stuff, same source, now on its way, actually already received, thank goodness, confirmation of that, for testing. So that's where we are, folks, and it's a weird place to be. Now I'm afraid I've got, you know, I don't dwell on this, but this is very serious. Are you a ham radio operator? I am. W6OBB. I got a message last night that I hope is wrong, but I'm afraid it is not. The American Radio Relay League has issued a warning that the 1997 ITU conference, World Radio Communications Conference, is coming up. And I don't mean to glaze over any eyes out there that don't care about this kind of thing, but what they will be considering is taking the 144 megahertz to 148 megahertz and the 420 to 450 megahertz bands away from radio amateurs and reallocating them for low Earth satellite service, mobile satellite service. And if they take away the 2-meter band and the 70-centimeter band from the hams, I am going to scream bloody damn murder. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to be very unhappy, and I know a lot of you will be too. I say don't let them have it, guys. That's a 2-meter band and the 70-centimeter band. They better not. I hope that report is wrong, and I'm going to check into it more, but that is fairly reliable information. How dare they? I mean it. How dare they?
Flowers on the wall.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight, featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 30th, 1996.
Last night I dressed in tail, pretended I was on the town. As long as I can dream, it's hard to slow the swingers down.
Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired May 30th, 1996.
Well, I'm going to try to cheer myself up a little bit with some of the real things. Every now and then, you got to do that to reset, especially after major days. Sheesh. Got a fax, says help. I fell asleep while Major Dames was on. Can you tell me what he said? No, I don't think I can. Maybe we'll repeat that half hour sometime. Maybe. Now, you see, that expresses it better than I ever could. Remember the expression, live every day as though it's going to be your last? I think that would apply. That would apply to the half hour that we did with Major Dames. That was frightening. To just play this and play it puts me in such a better mood. Oh well, back to the phones. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, let me turn this down. I'm behind the game here.
All right.
There we go.
There you go. Where are you?
This is Mike in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Hi, Mike.
Haven't talked to you for a little while.
Cray Company, country rather. K-R-A-E.
Yep, 1480 K-R-A.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to let you know that your new affiliate there in Cleveland was on here loud and clear at 1 o'clock, so they definitely got the power.
You were hearing Cleveland in Wyoming?
Yeah, when you mentioned them at 1 o'clock, I flipped over there, and they were loud and clear.
Oh, man, heck of a station. Yeah, that's a big one.
I had heard a rumor about the same thing about 2 meter and 70 centimeter. That wouldn't be good for me. I'm a no-code technician, so...
they better not. I'll go to Geneva. You know, I'll march. I'll do whatever I've got. They're out of their minds.
Yeah, that would definitely be the pits.
What I had, I'll tell you how I found out about it. I had a internet message, which purported to be an ARRL bulletin. Now, you know, not everything you get on the internet can be trusted. So I can't absolutely and won't absolutely confirm this is so, but if it's so, I'm going to go ballistic.
Yeah, that would definitely be bad. On another note, I heard Charlie's little call this evening.
Little call is right.
I know he'll hate these words, but those people of color that made something of themselves did it out of pure initiative, not thanks to their big brother Bill there.
Hear, hear.
They were above falling into his little welfare.
Hear, hear. You're exactly right. Individual initiative all the way. Thank you, sir. And I got a fax on it, too. Listen to this. Charlie. I'm usually with you, Charlie, but you really ought to know better than to suggest that anybody at any school should not be inviting Justice Thomas to their commencement ceremony just because he's not with you politically. Sorry, man. But this just confirms the wingnuts' worst suspicions about the left. To be frank, it doesn't do much for me either. It kind of makes me sick, actually. And art. You really shouldn't be so touchy about having dispersions cast at the man. But, Charlie, you're talking about a sitting member of the Supreme Court. That was my quote. Unless you're prepared to take on Buchanan and his brigade next time he takes on one of his frequent pot shots at Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You guys are fun to listen to, though. Say hi to Jim and Mr. KFI for me. They're both excellent broadcasters. Yes, they are. Tom and Escondido. Mr. KFI, because he's a talent, because he takes unscreened calls, because he's not afraid of whatever lies out there. He's one of the few. And I have always admired that. I used to say I was the only one taking unscreened calls, but somebody said, no, that's not true. Mr. KFI does that. It's true, he does. He does. And if more talk show hosts out there would figure out that they can do it without jeopardizing their little ideological world, or taking calls that are in disagreement, they would do it too, and their ratings would go up. They'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. It's becoming very obvious to a lot of people now in the industry, and so I'm sure, I'm confident that others will follow. Talk radio is wonderful. It's one of the best things in the final days. That's what we're... God, that was an awful half hour. Oh, jeez. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, yeah, Kenai 550.
Way up in Alaska.
I was working when you came out with that other station. I wasn't able to see if we got it up here in Alaska, but of course we're into our
I'd say, night. Look, even for our friends in Cleveland, I would say Alaska would be a bit of a stretch.
Hey, it's funny what can happen. And hey, to hear you say you'll march, man, that is a commitment.
Yeah, I don't do it frequently, but if they really are considering taking that away from the hams, I will go to Geneva.
Yeah, it's a hard call there. You know, once you commit yourself, it's something. And you know, when you talked about, or that guy last night was talking about you bowing at the Fed and all that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, hey, we like you out there. Hey, that 5 foot egg thing—that was a joke.
Well, you've got in a lot of ways. I admire. You know, I have always been myself a practical joker.
Yes.
So I kind of admire what they did in a lot of ways, especially in getting the zoologists to agree to say yeah 5 foot egg.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, I called you last, I worked night, so I just got off, the swing shift. And, yeah, program with Lightning Lynn. What a program that was. I did miss the guy tonight, the major.
Well, it's as well.
Well, yeah,
I'm sorry to say that, but it really is as well. I mean, that's one of the most...
Remember, Art, life is many things, and one of the things it is a gamble.
You bet.
And I've always bet on success. And I'll tell you what, as in, you know, the environment around me, it's survival out there, but, hey, I see good things.
Good, sir. And under the circumstances, frankly, I'm glad you didn't hear the half hour. That was one of the most frightening half hours I've ever done. Thank you very much. Unplanned, spontaneous, and very, 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 very frightening. But you know, I have this ability to reset myself. I mean, look, even if everything that he said comes true and soon and in the time frame he talked about, take it one day at a time. I'm a fighter, I'm a survivor, and for as long as I'm able, I'll hang in there. You know, it's like I want to see the rest of the story. Don't you? There are, I fear, a lot of people who would really freak out at that kind of information. And I am, believe me, I am. I'm also assimilating it and dealing with it, and I will, and I will. And I'll maintain a sort of a balance, even if it all begins to manifest. Just because that's what I've always done, and I guess that's my lot in life. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. This is Chris in Nashville, listening on the Monster, WWTN.
Oh, it's a giant one. Yes, sir.
Yeah, when they can keep on the air. Every time there's a thunderstorm, their satellite is down and we lose you.
Well, hey, you guys have had some pretty bad weather.
Yeah, that's true. Did you have a rerun last night?
Yes, I did. My wife went to the hospital in a very traumatic condition. She had a very serious asthmatic attack. And
I hope she's all right.
She is. It took a lot of hours and a lot of IVs and stuff, but they pulled her out of it.
Well, thank goodness for that.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, Monday night they did a rerun of the show on HARP.
That's right.
Guess what?
What?
Satellite went down. I missed it again.
Oh, no.
It went down about an hour and a half into the interview.
That was the night that they were getting clobbered near Louisville, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, it's understandable. Yeah, it's understandable.
So what I would like, if I could, is get that 800 number where I can call CBC and order that show.
All right. It's, you ready?
Yes, sir.
It's 800-917-4278.
4278.
Yep.
Okay, and I believe that was the February 16th show?
Now you've got me. The last show...
It was either the 16th or 17th, because it was right before the primaries.
Well, just remember Dr. Begich, but I believe that's correct, and you can check that. They'll have the dates.
Well, keep up the good work, and if they can get rid of their Radio Shack equipment over here at WTN, maybe we can keep you on the air a little longer.
All right, thanks. That's not fair. Jeez, you know, see, that's what people do. You know, they slam their affiliates around. WWTN happens to be one of the largest, strongest FM stations in the whole nation. And they just cover many states. And I know that, you see, that's what happens. People get frustrated. You know, they want to hear a show. And look here now. These were some of the worst tornadoes. There were 1,100 homes that were either damaged or destroyed, and I'm sure it's some of the same weather that took them down. Radio stations have big towers. The bigger the radio station, generally speaking, the bigger the tower, and they attract lightning and satellite dishes and very sensitive equipment when there's lightning around. The LNA or LNB or whatever it is they're using as the pickup device on the dish is very subject to lightning strikes, near lightning strikes, EMP, and they're affected. So be nice to these guys. They're not trying to be off the air. They're trying to be on the air. Things are better for them when they're on the air. So it's not as though they're doing this. It's not like, you know, I mean, that's casting aspersions on Radio Shack, A. And B, well, I guess I better be careful here. And B, it's suggesting that that they don't care. Well, they do. They care a lot. Take it easy on these people. Sheesh. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, good morning. I finally got in.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll tell you, it's difficult because they cut you off so quick when you're calling in and ringing.
I know. Where are you?
I'm Jerry in Boulder, Colorado.
Hi, Jerry.
And first thing, I wanted to talk to you a little bit. I got hold of these water filter guys yesterday that you
were
advertising.
Yes, yes.
You know, and that thing only filters down to 1 micron.
Well, it takes out, I've got the ad here, and I know it's correct. It takes out, if you're concerned, chlorine, chemicals, lead, parasites at 99%. That's non-trivial.
Huh, interesting. I just, I'm really researching this a lot because I do a lot of wilderness hiking and such, and I've been looking around at some of the different ones, and, you know, some of them purport to get down into the tenths of microns and filter these same things as well as bacteria and microbes and
yeah,
such.
But when you, yes, but consider, if you go to a tenth of a micron, then you begin taking out some things you don't want to take out. In addition, you're talking about a difference living in a one percentile range of the difference. In other words, taking out 99% for what is this thing sell for, $119 on sale right now, and then you're talking about just a very small part of one percentage difference. So taking out 99% in terms of protective value to you.
Yeah, no,
you know, for the dollar you're spending.
I didn't think about it that way. And another question that I have is how much do you think that, oh, the HARP Project and others are having to do with the effects that
the
you
weather?
Talked with Major Dames about on the jet stream?
Yeah, you heard that a half hour, I take it.
Yeah, I did.
How did that settle in on you?
It's still settling.
Yeah.
It's very difficult because I feel that some of these unpredictable weather patterns, although I know some of them have to do with warming and things that we're putting into the atmosphere and and such. I also wonder what kind of ionospheric testing.
Yeah, me too.
What ionospheric testing is doing to the planet that we don't, that we'll never know about.
You know what really bothered me more than anything else about it? A lot of times when you hear from people like Major Dames or prophets or whatever, they will say, well, I see these things ahead. They seem likely, but they can be avoided. Major Dames was not circumspect about it.
No.
He said, too late, so sorry, get ready. It was just his whole tone and attitude. It sounded, I don't know. I'm like you. I'm still assimilating it. I thank you for the call. That was not a good, or it was a good half hour, depending on how you look at it. Sometimes in talk radio, things happen on my program particularly that are hard to even totally assimilate for a while. Major Dames this morning was in that category. Major Dames worked for the government. Maybe you don't know a lot about him. I guess I'm going to have to talk to him, and we're going to have to plan doing a show after what he said this morning. But it's going to take me a while, believe me, to assimilate all of that. Maybe this will help, too. Here's Maria. It's all about my desert.
Send your camel to bed.
That helps me reset.
Shadows painting our faces, traces of romance in our head. Heaven's holding a half moon.
Actually, nearly full right now.
Just for us.
But believe me, the desert.
Let's slip off to a sand.
It is a place to kind of recharge yourself. And I could use some recharging right now. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight, featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 30th, 1996. Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight, featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 30th, 1996.
Once again, here I am. Sometimes talk radio gets even surreal for me. You know what? Really surreal. Man, what a night. Morning, Art. Since I haven't heard you mention it, I'll assume you don't know. So, the MCI girl. Ha ha. God, she's cute. Her latest advertisement, she's cuter than ever. If she gets any cuter than that, they're going to have to just figure a way to bottle that, you know, or something. Anyway, she has a major role in the movie Mr. Holland's Opus. Her hair is very dark, but it's definitely her. If they used her voice, she can really sing. Check it out, Art. I think you'll agree she's going to be a major star, or starlet, before long. Richard, Covina, California, listening to KABC. Yes, Richard, I agree with you. She's major star material. She is the quintessential all-American, rosy-cheeked, oh my God, that's cute kind of girl. People sometimes write to me and say, how can you talk about cute women like that? Shannon Darity, bad girl. MCI, good girl. How can you do that? Doesn't your wife go nuts? No. She allows me to appreciate beauty, and I do. I really do. Has anybody seen the movie about Norma Jean and Marilyn? Boy, they sure picked a good one for that, too. Cute. Art, why not invite a member of the governing board of the ARRL to be interviewed on your show? They might relish the opportunity to air their ideas and opinions. Mike. Who dat? New Orleans. Yeah. I know. I think I will. What I'll do is I'll check into this, and if it's real, besides throwing up, sure, I'll invite the ARRL on. Even though I'm not what you'd call one of their biggest fans, I'd have them on. Especially if they're prepared to fight this with real resources. Dear Art, there is a science fiction book out called Heat by William Herzog. It's about how the Earth reacts to rampant global warming. Sounds similar to what's happening now, Scott, in Carlinville, Illinois, I think it is. Dear Art, you were wondering about Christian identity. Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. If anything's probably due to end the Earth, it's this, as far as I'm concerned. Christian identity is, I am told, combining white supremacy with Christian ideals. Anyway, let me read his facts. You were wondering about Christian identity and how they can combine white supremacy and Christianity. They believe that the whites are the Israelites and they are the chosen people. Chosen for what? To be superior? And to combine that with what Christ taught? These are the confused people of the world, and if anything is going to bring the 300-mile winds, you know, they're ushering them right in, as far as I'm concerned. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Mr. Bell.
Yes.
Hey, I'd like to thank you for scaring the hell out of me this morning.
Yeah, you're welcome. Scared the hell out of myself.
Yeah, I was just, I went out this afternoon. We had tornadoes here, those ones from Colorado.
Where, oh, you're in Colorado?
No, I'm in Nebraska.
Nebraska, but yeah. I saw the ones. Oh, my God.
That same cell came right over us, too. While we were having tornado watches or warnings, I saw the film on the TV set about those.
In Colorado? Oh, that must have been great.
Oh, yeah. I went out south of town. When I hear the sirens, I get in my car and head for the storm, you know. We had a baseball-sized hail here.
You're another crazy baseball-sized?
Yeah. Yeah, I sat in the middle of it this afternoon. Dented the hell out of my sister's car, and I watched it knock out the windows in the house I was sitting next to.
Your sister's car?
Yeah.
Oh, I bet she was really happy about that. Hey, sis, I'm going to use your car to go chase tornadoes.
Yeah, see, I was thinking back
sorry
to
about
biology
the,
class.
Sorry about the baseball-sized hail, sis. I'm sure we can pound it out.
Yeah. I'm just glad that I didn't get hurt in that, though.
Glad you didn't, too.
I saw about 7 or 8 funnel clouds, too, drop out of the sky and go back up.
A lot of tornadoes. Now, they're finding that more and more now because of Doppler radar, something we talked with Lynn about the other night. But there are a lot more tornadoes than are ever reported because of exactly that. They drop out of the cloud. They never touch the ground. But they definitely are there. And I'm thinking, even with the additional reporting, we are entering strange times.
I was going to say, I remember we had a tornado warning or a tornado drill in school back in, and it was 8 o'clock in the morning, and I was in biology class. And my biology teacher said that tornadoes in the morning time are very, very rare.
Yeah.
And I just heard on the news that there's 6 tornado watches in the United States right now.
I don't doubt it for a second. I repeat, I don't doubt it for a second. I really appreciate your call, sir, and thanks for scaring the hell out of me. I really appreciate that. 6 ongoing right now, huh? Here's one for you. Art, for the past few years, what Major Dames has said is a vision I have seen. It has changed my life, and I have always felt a little different. I will see an animal, a flower, a child laughing, my own child growing. Knowing all the while, Art, that they would soon be my last sights. I see no grandchildren, no old age, no future. Oh, man. I live every day trying to be the best I can, holding the dearest of thoughts to my heart. Most people think you're crazy if you mention it. So for a long time now, I've lived with this thought and have been lonely in a world so full of people. Maybe this gray doom that approaches will somehow lift some of us to a higher spiritual place on earth. Maybe, Art. It'll make those of us in the know a little better as we tend to be a little kinder, knowing that life will soon have its end. God help us, Elizabeth in Paradise. Oh, Elizabeth. Sound just like Major Dames. I could go a while without having to do a show like this again. First time caller line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. This is Bobby in Sparks, Nevada.
Well, hello there in Sparks. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I have a very silly thing to say. Have you ever seen that movie, The Village of the Damned?
Yes.
All right. I've been listening a lot to the news about the children that are killing people.
Yes.
11 years old, 6 years old, and now I heard on the news just shortly ago about a 4-year-old that held police off with a gun. Wouldn't it be very odd if these children...
Excuse me, I didn't hear about that one. Where did that happen?
Down in Florida. I heard
Florida.
It on the news.
A 4-year-old held off the police with a gun.
Right, for
cool.
4 hours.
Great. That can go right with the two Texas stories I've got this morning, especially the one about the little girl who combed her mom's hair for 15 minutes and then put a gun to her head and blew her away.
That one I didn't hear either.
Well, then know it now.
Well, what I'm thinking is, wouldn't it be very possible that the alien abductions and the artificial inseminations are a result of these children that are suddenly deciding to kill?
No, I think there's a closer-to-home explanation, thank you, and I think that it has to do with what Elizabeth just said to me in this fax. I don't even want to read that again, what Major Dames had to say. Alien abductions? Maybe. The cause of what's going wrong with our youth right now? No. No. We're always looking to somebody else. It's the aliens' fault. You know, it's this, it's that. It's not us. It is us. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
I just wanted to throw something at you real quick here. I'm sure you've thought about it. You just haven't bothered to say it. This is Gene in Nashville.
Yes, sir.
But as far as this thought process goes, you know, the Klan's been preaching scripture with their whacked out extremism for decades.
Yeah, I know. I know, but now it's solidified into something that these apocalyptic groups, and maybe they're not wrong, I'm beginning to think the apocalypse may be close, but it's solidified into the so-called Christian identity thing.
That's always been the one thing I'd love to do the most, is to interview Charlie Manson and ask him what made him think he was going to start a racial war against black and white in a city whose base population is mostly Hispanic.
Yeah, well, maybe Charlie wasn't wrong.
He may not.
Talk
to you later.
Yeah, okay. I've seen some interviews with Mr. Manson. I, too, would relish the opportunity to interview Charlie Manson. I like interviewing people on the edge. Maybe you figured that out by now. Because to me, Charlie, I wonder if they allow him. I don't think they allow him interviews anymore. They got a couple of TV crews in there, and what I saw was so evil, so purely evil, that it froze me. You ever seen an interview with Manson? It'll freeze you. Mentally, spiritually, you feel frozen watching him, listening to him. Nevertheless, in a macabre, strange way, I would, of course, relish the opportunity to interview him. Maybe I shouldn't use the word relish. I mean, they already call me the devil's toe jam or whatever it is. I don't know if that call is still up on my webpage, but if it is, you got to check it out. God, that was funny. So I'll just get more mail about that. But I would. There's something intriguing and something inside of me that strives to want to understand the mind of somebody like that. And that'd be one way to do it, to do an interview. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Greg in Portland.
Hi, Greg. Yes, sir.
A couple of things. About your plant seed story.
Oh, wasn't that something?
Yeah, it really was. You know what that reminds me of?
What?
There was a Stephen King movie a couple of years ago, and it was a little like a Twilight Zone type movie, where they had little short stories in it.
Right.
Stephen King even played the guy, and it was almost the same thing, except it was a little egg that came down and cracked open, and the juice that ran out is what grew the plant.
Well, I want this guy in Seattle to send me his phone number, which I'm sure he will, and I want to interview him. And we'll talk to him. I mean, he sounded serious, like he was about to contact the police or somebody.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be interesting. There's a similarity there. Maybe Stephen King got his story from there. Who knows?
Well, I think,
old story or something. A couple other things.
Yes?
You were talking about swing shift people and graveyard people the other night.
Yes.
I'm one of those people that worked swing shift, and I worked it on and off for a couple of years, except for while I was in school, and it was day shift then, but you know, for the most part, I really like swing shift. I always have.
Well, I'm beginning
adapted to it, and I like
understand.
Being able to get up in the morning and
I'm beginning to think after listening to this morning's program and I'm as much of a listener as the rest of you, that we're all graveyard workers.
That's interesting. I think so. Hard to know anymore, really.
Dark humor. Thank you very much for the call, if you follow me. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art. This is Joseph from Los Angeles.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I was wondering if you heard of Habitat 2, the UN meeting over there in Istanbul.
Yes, sir. I'm very much aware of it,
but I understand this lays a framework for sustainable development for the third world countries that will transfer wealth from Europe and the United States into the third world.
Over my dead body.
Well, I hear that this is what their agenda is.
Well, they can have all the agendas they want, but they're not going to take money away from this country and pour it into third world nations. They can have their agenda until the cows come home,
yeah.
But the American people aren't going to let that happen.
I understand, Art, that they're going to use the environmental agenda to pass on their form of government, though.
All we need to do, sir, is all be, thank you, aware of our own environment. Not send money elsewhere. Not transfer wealth. You know, that's a big scare trip now. It is feeding America, the conspiracy nation. We need to do what we need to do about the environment. As we can, as it is reasonable, and as best we can. And we all need to act individually. I certainly am all in favor of that. But transfer of our wealth to the rest of the world, over my dead body.
Well, might be, Art.
Might be. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. How you doing?
All right.
My name's Dave. Live in Elkhorn out here, between Castroville and Prunedale.
Talked to you a couple of times
on 75 meters.
I know exactly where you are.
Yeah. Anyway, I was calling about a couple of things here. The Major Dames there, he was quite interesting, and what really made my heart sink to my shoes was when he said he wouldn't put the credibility of his company online if he wasn't really sure about what he was saying.
I know.
So that's what really made it for me.
I know, and then the thing that got to me was, I think more than anything, that it is not a sort of a road that we may go down.
Yeah, that's right. It sounded very certain that it is the one we're going to do. So,
yeah.
Very tough.
Mm-hmm.
The other item was the losing the 2 meters and 70 centimeter band. I heard a couple of guys talking on the local repeater here about that, and I was kind of interested about it. And I think there's supposed to be something coming up in QST about that. So,
if it's true, then I hope the 300-mile-an-hour winds come and blow Geneva off the face of the map before they get around to it.
Yeah, I think hopefully your audience knows the service that we provide on those bands for the community in times of disaster and all of that.
Well, I didn't want to get too pushed out of shape until I determined that it really is true. Now, if it is true, I have many millions of listeners, and I can promise you I will mobilize them.
That's great.
Against
That's great.
This. So hang in there, and we'll get it straightened out.
All right. We'll see what happens.
Thank you.
All right. Good night, Art.
Take care. The average person does not know what we're talking about. And I really don't want to go into it deeply until I'm sure of what I'm talking about. But at that point, we'll raise some serious hell. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art.
Hello.
I'm calling from Calabasas.
All right.
I spoke to you the other night. Wow, I'm so depressed.
Yeah.
It's like, it's going to take me quite a while to be able to assimilate this and find a reason to even keep writing my little songs.
Oh, you write songs?
I think I mentioned that the other night. I'm a nocturnal creative person.
Well, maybe you can have some apocalyptic inspiration, and who knows?
You know what? I don't have any of these, you know, feelings that this is something that I've known or anything, and that's a little shocking to me because it's sort of just like right out of left field for me, and the guy sounded really serious and like he knows what he's talking about. But one thought that I had was I'm wondering that the quickening, these children killing each other and stuff, if
yes.
People do have a sense that this is coming,
mm-hmm.
and don't have any way to express it, could it be that it's sort of a subconscious or subconscious way of expressing this kind of doom that people seem to be aware of.
Yes, but my reaction to it, even assuming that I believe everything I heard, and I'm sorry to say I do, is not to go mad and put a gun to somebody's head or anything else. It's quite the opposite.
No, but these are little kids that maybe don't really know how to process it and aren't really aware of why they're doing
what they're doing.
What they're doing.
Yeah, that's perfectly reasonable explanation, you betcha.
Hey, I'm glad I got through to you tonight. I wanted to tell you, you sounded like you had the feces scared out of you last night, and I'm glad to hear that your wife is doing better, and I wish her well.
Thank you. Thank you. You're quite correct. I did. Scared the hell out of me. God, that's scary. Because we have a very special relationship, my wife and I. And if she wasn't here, I'm not altogether sure that I would want to be, if you follow me. So yes, it did. It really scared me. And there really was good reason to be scared. It's one of those things where you would have had to have been there, you know. It was close. Well, listen, we're about out of time. I need to give somebody the honors here. That's about all I've got time for. Wildcard line, hello.
Art, this is Doug, the G-Man from Clovis, California.
Doug, there's only going to be time for you to give...
The honors.
The honors, thank you.
Don't regret tonight's show. Remember the Alamo. Good night, America.
Well done, Doug. Thank you all. And to express my feeling with regard to this morning's show... From the high desert, good night, America.